The Prague Playhouse, a successful English-language theater company based in the Czech capital since 2003, premieres its new production of Charles Dickens' timeless tale, A Christmas Carol, on Friday at Divadlo Inspirace. Just a few hours ahead of the premiere, the show's producer, Laura Strugar, and musical director, Tyson Hakes, dropped by Czech Radio to discuss the production with me, including how this year's version is different. It's my pleasure to welcome both of you, Laura Strugar and Tyson Hakes, to the studio. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Today is, of course, the premiere of your new production of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. You've got to be very excited about that.
Yes, actually, very excited. We've been working on it for, what is it, about 6 weeks now. And, you know, really, we've put in a lot of effort to this show. We're kind of taking it in a different direction. Our director, Michael Piven, you know, has a great vision for the show, and we're really excited to finally see the fruits of our labors and see the production on stage.
I believe it. You're leading into my first question, which is, how is this production different from ones that you've put on before? I know that you put on A Christmas Carol last year as well.
Yeah, last year we put on A Christmas Carol, and it was more of a traditional style. We did it down in a cellar near Old Town Square, and this one will be in Divadlo Inspirace, which is more of a typical theater space. But it's the vision is different because it's a different director, and whereas last year was more of the traditional Christmas Carol, this year Michael Piven, the director, has made it into more of a spooky ghost story, exactly how Dickens wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Conceptually, what were some things that he did with the material, either in the terms of the script or in terms of the visuals?
Well, one thing that we've done is we're adding in the music, and really what we're trying to draw on, there's very little instrumentation. The only instruments we have are accordion and viola, and we use the viola for the lower sounds, you know, as opposed to the violin, which is more higher sounds and more of a bright sound. So we really go for the dark. We're pulling from not only traditional Christmas carols, and we tend to stick to the minor keys, which are, you know, tend to be the sadder keys. And we also are pulling from a lot of traditional Czech music, and our accordionist, Jirka Čevala, is amazing, just pulling from those traditional things that he knows very, very well. And, you know, we're using them to create really that spooky scene that Michael was looking for. And it's been so much fun, you know, pulling those and working with it. And, you know, sometimes we had to say, you know, oh, this just isn't working. Let's find something else. And I think we've really created his spooky vision with the music there, because traditionally A Christmas Carol is not a musical.
The director isn't here today, of course, but I want to ask about the visuals as well, because one of the images which you can see on Facebook is kind of the use of a shadow play. So I wanted to ask about how some of the key scenes were handled. Obviously, there's the visitations by the four ghosts.
Right.
There's also the element of time passing. So I wondered how you handled or how he handled those elements.
Michael is a fantastic performer himself, actually, and he has a great background in puppetry as well as acting as a professional actor. So he really wanted to incorporate that with this show. And one of the amazing designers that he brought in was Bridget Doner, who's a German puppeteer. She actually makes puppets, and she can work the puppets. So we have some hybrid puppets that will be half human, half puppet. And then we also have, like you saw on Facebook, we have a photo that we posted. We have an actual shadow puppet scene that they have worked to choreograph in one of the scenes where Scrooge goes back into his past, into his childhood, the Alibaba scene. And for example, the visuals, he wants things that don't look necessarily human all the time. For example, Marley is a puppet face, and Marley is played by a human, but the face is a puppet, and so it creates this unnaturalness, and there's a glow, like an unearthly glow about it. Also, the idea of it not being reality, what Scrooge is experiencing, he has this visual of lights bubbling up from one side of the stage to the other and just flowing back and forth as different scenes play in front of Scrooge. And so Scrooge is literally taken from one scene to the other and flown around by these spirits as he experiences Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future. And so it has a more dreamlike feel to it. He's kept it in the grays, the browns, the blacks, and he brings color through, I think, the emotion that he wants people to feel. Like at the beginning, it's very cold and dark. And of course, at the end, the redemption of Scrooge is very warm and relaxing.
In terms of some of these dramatic moments, when I think of performances I've seen in the past or of some of the movies that were made of A Christmas Carol, to my mind, I always associate kind of like the crashes of drums or the rattle of chains. Do you also use anything else in terms of effects for this, or have you gone a different direction?
Yes, we are using some effects with that. For example, the chains, that's a big one. It would almost not be A Christmas Carol without the rattling chains. But we use various different metal tubes to create bell sounds and things like that.
And drums? And, you're doing some drumming?
Drums, some tambourine.
So that's there.
Just, you know, we really had fun putting that together and just sitting down and playing with things and figuring out, oh, we like this, we don't like this, let's put that in. So that was really a lot of fun to, you know, just make sound.
You talked about the spookiness and the fact that A Christmas Carol is a ghost story. Today, maybe some viewers or audiences forget that this kind of mashup that Dickens did between traditional Christmas and really a scary story, and they associate that kind of thing more with a Tarantino or a Tim Burton, this kind of mixing of genres, right?
Yeah.
So in a way, Dickens, I don't know how many other precedents there were for that kind of mashup in his day.
I've wondered that myself, because growing up in an English native culture like we have, you just understand that A Christmas Carol is one of the standard Christmas stories. But unlike every other single Christmas story that we watch or that we read, this is actually a ghost story, and it's quite scary. And Dickens himself was actually quite obsessed with ghosts and the spirit world. And so to actually incorporate that into a Christmas story was, I think, even unusual for his time.
Apparently, through A Christmas Carol, Dickens kind of reframed how we celebrate Christmas today, that a lot of those elements, giving a charity, the kind of softening of one's heart, reassessing one's life, that those kind of values were something that had actually been missing. There was a kind of return to also a nostalgia for old Christmas traditions. So we have him to thank to a large degree.
Yeah. And one thing that is amazing about Dickens is the way that he actually grew up. He a lot of his books focus on poor and poverty and being charitable, because he grew up in a very poor family himself. You know, he talks about workhouses and terrible living conditions for the poor people in London at that time. But that's because he grew up in that. His family experienced that, and he knew what that was like. And during that time, it was almost impossible to change classes from one strata to the next. So for him to be able to write about it and express his unhappiness with how he felt people were being treated, Christmas Carol definitely opens that up for us to see his life and what his opinion was.
Scrooge is obviously not an easy character to play. I think one of the trickiest things in terms of performing him is that moment of gradual transition where he realizes that his life has been a mistake, or that he hasn't fulfilled or been the person he could have been. This is tricky for any actor. Now, I just recently rewatched the George C. Scott version, which is the version that I grew up with.
That's my favorite, yes.
Who is the actor who plays Scrooge in your production, and how does he do with that transition?
Well, the director, Michael, one of his main ideas for the show was we're all a little bit like Scrooge. So actually, all the actors get a chance to play Scrooge. There's a main actor, Milan Malinowski, who was in our summer production of Sweeney Todd, and he's a great actor, and he's mainly playing Scrooge, so that we have a main central actor playing him. But each actor trades off in certain areas the Scrooge character. So they've done a lot of movement workshops together, a lot of talking and discussing, and how does Scrooge feel in your body? How do you move your body when you're Scrooge? How does it change your appearance? How does it change the way you hold yourself or your emotion? And they've done a lot of workshopping with that. On stage, you'll see Scrooge represented by a red scarf, and this red scarf will be passed around. And when you can see the change, you can see the change in the actors. The red scarf hits them and goes around their neck. They immediately become Scrooge. And they work on everything from the workshops, how they feel Scrooge is, and even the women and younger men, and Milan, who's one of our more mature actors, is they're able to exude the Scrooge-ness that they've worked on.
The Scrooge-ness, I like it. But obviously that is a very non-traditional approach that you've just described. Mm-hmm. The other thing about Prague Playhouse that is very distinct is the fact that there's so many different people from different walks of life, different parts of the world, English speakers, native English speakers, Czechs. How important is that aspect for putting on a production like A Christmas Carol?
I think that has really lended itself to helping create kind of our different vision. We've got so many different people coming in with so many different life experiences, yet at the same time, you know, going back to Michael's main theme, there is the Scrooge in all of us. And we all have those commonalities that run through our cultures, no matter what our culture. And we've all been able to find that and find common ground. And on the other side of that, you know, it's been great working with people from around the world and getting to know a different culture. And, you know, speaking for myself, I've learned a lot about different cultures just from how things are interpreted, you know, how the text is interpreted by different people. And it's really been a pleasure working with all of these people.
Who do you expect in the audience? Will it be more expats? Will it be Czechs? A bit of both? And like other performances, is this one going to be subtitled?
We do have subtitles for this performance. We make it a goal, since we are in the Czech Republic, to subtitle them. Because, yes, we are an English theater, so we have a very large expat community that comes to see our shows every year and every time we put something on. But we really want to make it accessible to the Czech people. And often you have Czech people who have studied English, but maybe they're not 100% secure in that English. Mm-hmm. So having subtitles is something that they know they can come and actually enjoy a high quality level English production and not worry about understanding every single word.
My understanding also is that Czechs who say began learning English here in high school or even earlier, Dickens has quite a strong place. So you can't go wrong to a degree.
Right. And Dickens, as we all know, there are lines from the actual book that we know these sentences are from A Christmas Carol. So, for example, you know, the opening sentence, Marley was dead to begin with. There are specific sentences that we all know from native English culture. And certainly you can read Vanočný koleda and understand what happens in A Christmas Carol, but you don't get the true experience of A Christmas Carol as Charles Dickens wrote it until you hear his words the way that he wrote it and hear the traditional
delivery
of how the ghost of Marley, you know, in life I was your partner, Jacob Marley. These are really important parts of Dickens, and you cannot truly understand the experience that Dickens was trying to bring across until you hear it in the original English.
This is a bit extraneous, especially since we're talking about Dickens and something that was very specific to his time and place. But to my mind, because plays are something that are often discussed by members of the audience as they go home, you know, they go over the play again in their minds, it can't hurt that the members of your audience will be heading out somewhere afterwards in a city like Prague, especially if there's a bit of snow in the air and you have these small historic streets. Do you think it'll add to the kind of experience of seeing the play?
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely added to the experience for me.
Yeah, it's certainly changed the way I see A Christmas Carol myself, because the environment here is so much more quaint and apropos for something like A Christmas Carol.
You can imagine a Scrooge coming along through the
and
winding
Dickens.
Streets of Malá Strana.
Absolutely.
Best of luck with the performance. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much.